Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, good morning. I'm just going to open in prayer. Dear Lord, we just come into Your presence this morning with thankful hearts. We come here to worship and praise You, Lord. We thank You that Your presence is here. You said when two or three are gathered, You're in our midst. And we are just thankful that the pastor is being led by Your Spirit. Let his words be anointed. Let it be words from Your heart to us, and we give You the glory. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen.
You know, church, there's something that happens when we learn how to fight our battles and fight them properly. Because God's already given you every tool in your arsenal, but the thing that gets in the way so often is us. The ability to worship through a battle has a lot to do with your surrender through that battle. It really does. Because when you're ready and eager to fight your own battle based on what you see coming towards you, God just wants you to listen. Just stop and listen to what I'm telling you. Because the Bible tells us that He's already won the battles for us. So if we know that and we're standing on faith the way that we should be standing on faith, standing on a firm foundation, right? Then we should know that there's not anything that we gotta do but turn to God. Your worship in moments where you feel like the storm is raging can be a really powerful thing in your life because you're allowing a surrender in your life for what God's trying to do through the storm. You've already won the battles. He's already done things for you. He's already working things in your favor so that when you come out of that battle, you're going to be stronger than you even were before. So trust the process of what He's doing in your life. Turn to Him in all things. Know that the battle's already been won. There is nothing that's impossible for God. So if He's got it all in His hands, why do we try to do it on our own? We gotta just be still and let Him fight the battle for you. Let Him do every single thing that He's wanting to do within you so that you can come out knowing that He's giving you even more. I don't know who it's for, but it's still the same thing as even from when we sang Surrounded. There's somebody here that you feel like God's not moving on your behalf, that you've been asking and you've been asking for something and He's just not doing it. And just know this morning, He is saying, just surrender it all to Me. It's not that I'm not moving on your behalf. It's not that I am not already preparing things and haven't prepared things. But you gotta let Me do it for you. You're fighting a battle that I'm already trying to fight for you. For the battle is not yours, but it's mine. Just know that God is fighting on your behalf. And what we don't realize so often in the time is that we get in the way of what God's trying to do because we are so bent on fighting those battles, those issues, the things we're seeing in the physical on our own. We get this feeling of like, I gotta do something. But what God's trying to teach us is you don't have to do anything. that if we would learn in the middle of those battles to just let go, that we would realize that what he's working and what he's doing, regardless of what we're seeing, is so much better than anything that we could ever do on our own. It's why we don't want that battle to be ours. It's why we want to let him do what he's going to do. Because trials and tribulations aren't there just to bring you down. They are there to teach you, build you up, and move you forward into more things that God has for you. It's just like a child. Parents, you teach them things that they need to know so that they know the difference between right and wrong.
That's right.
So that they know, okay, I shouldn't do this. Okay, this is okay, but this isn't okay. And it's the same thing that God does in our lives. But because we've gotten older, we see things happening in our lives as an issue and a problem. When God says, if you would look at them through my eyes, I'm giving you something more. Because he's never wanting to just tear you down and pull you apart and just leave you there. Every single thing that you're going in through in your life is to build you up.
That's right. Come on. That's right.
The Bible tells us all things work together for good to those that love Christ. Not just some things. Not just every once in a while, but all things. So when something's going on in your life, even when you feel like it's one of your lowest moments, know that God is working things together for your good. And it's time that we just start standing on it.
Yes.
Amen.
So much happens when we learn to surrender it to God. When we learn that faith is the substance of things not seen. It is standing on his word for things that you can't see coming, but knowing that he gave you a promise that is gonna come through.
Yeah, come on.
Because God does not lie. He will not give you something and confirm it to you and then leave you there. Just be patient, wait, surrender it, and let him fight the battle for you. Because it's working for your good.
Oh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you have a believing heart? Do you believe God for everything that he's told you? Hallelujah. Or do you just hold some things back? Well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Can I tell you that God is looking for your heart to believe him? He searches. The scriptures say that says in first, maybe second Chronicle, I'm not sure where it says it naturally, but it says, God, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro across the earth. Is that right? In search of those whose heart is perfect toward him. How many say, man, I want a perfect heart. God, I want to believe you. When you say something, God, I want to believe you for it. You say amen to that. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? I'm going to ask you again, is there anything too hard for God? Nothing. Nothing is impossible with God. How many say amen to that? Do you know that with God, all things are possible? We have signs on our church, with God, all things are possible. How many believe that? Or do you hold back? Well, he can't touch this. Or he can't fix this. Or he won't provide this. Come on, how many know that all things are possible with God? What's impossible with men, amen? It's possible with God. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Possible. Is it possible? Is it possible that God loves you so much that you can't even comprehend how much he loves you? Is it possible? Is it possible that he cares more for you than you've ever imagined? Is it possible? Can I tell you, it's very possible. It's more than possible. Amen. It's reality. God loves his people. God loves people. Can you say amen? For God so loved the world, even those that don't give him the time of day, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but what? Have eternal life. Hallelujah. The best thing anybody can do is to step into what God has given. Step into Jesus. What God has done for you is he's given you Jesus to wash all your sins away. Can you say amen? Well, that's something to jump about. I would say, yeah, okay. That's a good deal. You don't have to pay for it. Isn't that good? Man, that's a good deal. You don't have to pay for sins. He already paid for them. He washed you, and he provided an entrance for you to come and talk to him one-on-one. Is that okay? Praise God. Wow, there's some lights. Yeah, come on, man. The light just came on. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. Glory to God. The title of the sermon today, it's called Impossible. Because there are certain things that we think that maybe God can't do. But I'm going to tell you something. I've had people say, well, that's impossible, Pastor Henry. You think so? I wouldn't say that. Let me say amen to that. I wouldn't put anything, I wouldn't say that God was not able to do anything. Let me say amen to that. Jeremiah the prophet said, hey, he said, God, you made the heavens and the earth. With you, with you, Lord, everything's possible. God asks a question in Jeremiah. He asks Jeremiah, he says, is there anything too hard? Everybody say too hard.
Too hard.
Too hard. How many have gone through some hard things?
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything too hard for God? Jeremiah says, there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. And then nothing. Nothing is too hard for God. Can I tell you, isn't that cool? He speaks and planets are made. He speaks and the sun is made. He speaks. There's nothing too hard for him. Glory to God. Can you put up that scripture in Jeremiah? This is Jeremiah 32. I just want you to see the scripture. This is what it says. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. I would say that somewhere we're in that. Wouldn't you say? He's the God of all flesh. Somewhere you're in the all. Amen? He says, the God of all flesh, is there anything too hard for me? Somebody here, I don't know who you are, but God is asking, hey, do you think it's too hard for me? God says, no, I can do it. I can do it. I can take care of you. I can watch over you. I can provide for you. How many like God's provisions? He will provide and provide and provide again. Even when you can't see a way, he's got a provision for you. Can you say amen to that? Because he loves you and he's going to take care of you. All you have to do is believe him. Is that right? We have this crazy thing about running off and trying everything else, but just not believing God. But today, we're going to talk about some things that are kind of tough for me. Because when God began to show me some of these things, I balked. I don't know, God. I don't know. And you're going to understand here in just a minute. But a lot of you know that I believe that we don't have to die. How many say amen to that? Not too many. But I do teach. I do believe that God has said that this flesh that we walk in does not have to be, does not have to go. Does not have to decay. Does not have to corrupt. It does not have to. You see, Jesus said some things. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm going to take you there in just a second. But he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he is dead, yet shall he live. Is that okay? How many believe in Jesus? You're going to live. You're going to live. Piece of cake. How many say that? Piece of cake. You're going to live. Okay, but we have this impossibility complex that says, well, I'm going to live till I die, and then I'll live again. Well, the scripture doesn't teach that. How do you say amen? It doesn't show that. It shows something a little bit different with Christ. Is that okay? And that's okay if you guys get quiet on me. I get it. Because I know this teaching here is what God wants to speak. Can I tell you that we are at the time of history in our nation, or history in the world, that the world is calling for the kingdom of God. Do you know that? Jesus told us, he says, pray this way. Our Father, pray with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is, where? In heaven. Is that right? Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. How many of you have forgiven everybody that's trespassed against you? If you haven't, do it now. Amen? Say, God, I forgive them. Whatever. Don't matter. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. How many say, Jesus told us to pray that. He said for us to pray that the kingdom would come to the earth. How many say amen to that? I believe it's here. I believe God is operating. There are enough men and women of God that believe in God all around the world where this kingdom is about to overtake the world. Can you say amen to that? It's the parable of the sower. It's the parable of the weeds where there's the servant runs in and he says, hey, tells his master, he goes, master, they planted some bad seed next to the wheat. Should I pull them out? And he said, no, man, just let them grow. Let them grow until harvest. That's what's going on now. He's letting everything go until harvest is coming. Can you say amen to that? Harvest, it's the little bit of leaven. He said that the woman added to the bread. And he says, and she mixed it in till the whole loaf was leavened. It's talking about the kingdom. It started out as a little bit. 12 guys. How many say? Anybody rattle off the name of the apostles? Peter, Paul, John, and I don't know the rest. How's that? Yeah. But he started out with a small group, and this gospel has like leavened the whole earth. Can you say amen to that? And it's getting close for it. Can you sense it? Can you tell just by the way things are going? The ideas of mankind, how they actually shun God. Do you understand that this is the seasoning of the earth for the kingdom of God? Do you understand it? God is seasoning this planet. A little here, a little there. However you season your meatloaf, I don't know. He's seasoning it for the appearance of the kingdom of God. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. It's coming. You will see men and women of God taking on businesses. You're going to see this. Those businesses are going to skyrocket because they're operating in kingdom principles. Do you understand that? They're operating in the way God would have them to operate, not in the way they learned in the Get Rich seminar, but how God says, this is how it's done. You give. You give. Yeah, but God, they didn't tell me to do that in the seminar. They told me to invest. You give. Come on, man. That's how you're going to see men and women. You're going to see these businesses rising and rising for the kingdom. You'll see it. It's coming, folks. I believe it's already here. I believe you're already seeing it. Sometimes we don't even recognize it because some of these businesses have not really declared who they are. Some have. Isn't that cool? Yeah. But you watch. Anything connected to the kingdom will grow. Anything that's not, Jesus told them, hey, pull it out. Anything not connected to the kingdom, the Bible says he's going to root it up. So if it's not connected to the kingdom, even right now, guess what? You're already doomed. How many say amen to that? Everybody goes, no, I don't want to say amen. But it's true. You're not connected to the kingdom. Only the kingdom is going to survive. Guess what? Anything else is going to be rooted. God is speaking to the body of Christ. We are the body. I don't know how long you've been serving the Lord. I don't know how long you've been walking. Thank you, worship team. But know this. The time is now. The time is now. Look at your neighbor and say, now is the time. Time is now. Amen. I don't like some of the things I see. I mean, I don't like when we tell children that they can make a decision on their identity, whether they're a male or female. I don't like it. Can I tell you that God don't like it? Can I say God's not happy about it? Can you say amen to that? He's not happy. See, things are changing. God is seasoning the earth for the glory of God. Can you say that? That's, and it's in the kingdom. One of the things that he teaches, and this is one of the things that I've had a little problem with, God has given it to me little spurts at a time. A little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. But now he's telling me it's time. I need this out. I need the seed planted so that it might grow. So, hey, don't feel bad if you don't really agree with what I'm telling you this morning. Can you say amen? Yeah, you don't have to agree with me. But I will show you in the Word. I will show you where you can look at in the Word. Folks, let me just say this to you. You have to be looking at God's Word. You do. You personally. We, over the door, John's going to put some letter. We are independently dependent upon God. How many of you are that way? You better be dependent on what God is telling you. Who cares what he's saying on the internet? Who cares what people are saying on the internet? Who cares? I don't go there. I would rather hear the Holy Spirit speak into my heart than hear 10 really, really good sermons, or what I'd rather hear the Holy Spirit saying something to me. And I have the ability. God has given me, just like he's given you, the ability to get into his closet, get into your closet, and hear him speak to you. He'll tell you Henry's wrong. He'll tell you, well, that's right. He'll tell you. He will lead you and guide you. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you glad? Because we're in a time, folks, where there's a lot of stuff that's confusing out there. How many know there's a lot of Confucius going on? Yeah. Okay, whatever. All right, man. So, but let me just say this to you. That we are at the position. God has positioned you to hear him speak. Is that okay? Some folks might say, well, I don't know if I hear him. Oh, you're hearing him. You're probably hearing him more than you realize. Because he speaks softly, softly down within you. He speaks and he tells you things. Somehow you know things. You'll look at your spouse and say, I just thought that, what I saw. How many of you ever had that? Because God is already speaking to you. Today he wants me to bring something out that I've had trouble looking at, because I know how people think. Is that all right? I know how people are. I know how we are. I know how I was when I first heard it. Revelation takes a little bit of looking into you. Can you say amen? When God's trying to reveal something to you, sometimes you might just go, wait a minute, God. Is this you or is this the devil? And, you know, I'm not that way anymore. I said, God, if this is you, you're going to show it to me somewhere else. And these things that I'm about to share with you, God has walked me through these. I really believe the reason I'm standing here as a pastor of a church is because I will say what he tells me to say when he tells me to say it. Today is one of those days he's told me to say it. I said last night, God, there's just too much. You've already given me too much information on this, and there's too much to say today. He says, make it a series. Do it two or three. He says, but it needs to be seeded. Everybody say seeded. What does that mean? It needs to be planted. Because nothing grows unless it's planted. How many say amen? And then once it's planted, it needs to be watered. And a lot of times you're going to find what the Holy Spirit is seeding in your heart today. You're going to find that the Word of God begins to water it. It really doesn't matter to me if people say, well, he's not following context. Can I tell you, if you're not looking in the Word, a lot of people will use context as a word to duck out of trying to look for it themselves. Do you know what I'm saying? They make an excuse. Context is one of those words you'll hear people say. Well, it's out of context. So I'm not, you know, he's taking words out of context. Well, you can make the Bible say anything you want to say. You can. Can you say amen to that? You really can. You can take scriptures and put them together and make them say almost anything you want to say. if you're not Spirit-filled. There's a difference. Can you say amen to that? When you're Spirit-filled, there's a big difference. You realize, hey, man, I can't do anything against the truth. Is that right?
Amen.
You can't, as a Spirit-filled believer, as somebody that believes God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their might, you cannot in any way push against truth. You won't be able to. The Holy Spirit will shut you down. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many of you like being shut down by the Holy Ghost? Well, I like it. I know I've said something to, and the Lord said, okay, that's enough of that. How many say amen? I was mad at a guy one time and I went to say something to him and the Holy Spirit said, well, that's real nice. What a presentation, Hank. I said, wow, sorry, God. I like for him to stop me. And folks, so what I need you to do is be ready to write down these scriptures because you need to look. Be ready to hear. And can I just ask you, give it a chance. Allow it to fill your hearing so that you can go home and you can look. Is that okay? Because without a doubt, I believe we are in a position today. You are here today, not just here in this building, or you're here on the planet believing in the Lord because God has something for you. He's trying to get something through you. Is that okay? So when you hear, say, Lord, what are you saying? Hallelujah. I don't believe that anything is impossible with God. I just don't believe it. God can do anything he wants. He can change hearts. I know he's changed mine. I know that he's really done a work on me. I mean, we were just talking the other day because I used to eat a lot of shrimp. How many of you like shrimp? Anybody like shrimp? Yeah, I'm going to make you hungry before you go. But I used to eat a lot of shrimp, and I used to like that stuff. I got saved, and something clicked and changed. I don't know why. I don't know when. But now I'm not crazy about shrimp. I mean, I don't eat it. And I don't know why. It's not because the Bible says they're bottom feeders, and you're not supposed to eat it. It's none of that. All I know is I don't eat shrimp, and I just don't care to eat them. All right? Is that okay? I know that God has changed me from what I used to be. Can you say amen? That's the whole thing. Is that right? You become a new creature. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Word of God tells us. So I want to take you to John chapter 11. I want to read this thing about Lazarus. How many of you know Lazarus was a dead guy?
Yep.
Yeah, but let's read this. And I want to just bring this out. I feel the Lord wanting to teach these precepts and this concept. So I'm going to pray. Can you pray with me as I pray? Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for what you're saying, Lord. Lord, I know that you have placed in my heart, Father, a word that will build and strengthen your people. I know, Father, that you, Father, are taking us, moving us, leading us and guiding us, Father God, to what you have and what you've already preordained. So, Father, I thank you. I praise you, Father. I will speak this as you give me the strength and, Father, the anointing to speak it, Father, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. John chapter 11, let's start at verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, of the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." And his disciples said to him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then his disciples said, "Lord," these guys are doctors, you know. He said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well." Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to them." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." He's got a little bit dramatic. And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was near to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you." Jesus said to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." See, she already knows. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked her this question, "Believest thou this?" Do you believe this? She said to him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Son, the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master has come and calls for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goes to the grave to weep." Then Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to her, they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35 is a very powerful verse. Jesus wept. That is a powerful, powerful verse. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Said I not to thee that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I knew that you heard me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you've sent me. And when he had said thus, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face bound about with a napkin. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Poor guy. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Is that good? There's some that didn't believe, that they ran and told the Pharisees. And the Pharisees after that took even more counsel to try to kill him. Is that okay? I want to talk to you about the scripture where Jesus said, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And for most Christianity, I would say, I am happy with that. That he might be saying, well, if I die, I'm going to heaven. How many say, man, I've already got a place secure. How many say amen to that? Yeah. But see, he added something to it. And when I looked at it, God had shown me something. Is that okay? I got to tell you this. I was startled one day. A friend of mine had passed away at the mine. And his wife had asked me to do the eulogy. So I'm writing the eulogy for Gene. Remember Gene, Carlos? I'm writing the eulogy. And while I'm writing it, I wrote down these words. Death is just a part of life. And how many of you guys have ever heard that before? Death is a part of life. And, you know, well, death is a part of life. But when I wrote it down, the Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, stop. Where did you get that from? Cool. What do you mean? Talk about. Where'd you get it from? He said, Lord, everybody. He says, erase it. That's not my word. And then he proceeded to tell me, he said, death is as far from life as hot is from cold. From light to darkness. Ice and fire. That's how far death is apart from life. Death is never a part of life. It's contrary to it. Do you know, understand the word contrary? It cannot be next. It cannot be with it. Death is not part of life. Life is life. Death is death. This is why God in the Old Testament said, choose. I placed before you today, death or life. What do you want? Choose life, he tells you. Right? So this is what started me on that. I go, God, he says, no, don't write that down. Don't speak that. Don't you ever speak that. Okay. This was before I was a pastor, but this was before God even talked to me about having a church. This was long before that. and when I said, okay. But it was after that event, it was after that where I began to notice things in God's word. Can I say it was the opening of a preparation that God was getting ready to do in my heart. Is that okay? Because when he said it to me, I questioned. I said, well, what are you talking about? He didn't right then start telling me about it. But little by little, he started showing me things. Things in the word of God started catching my eye. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2 says this. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Is that all right? What does? Righteousness delivers from death. I found that. I said, okay. Proverbs 11:4 says this. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from what? From death. Proverbs 12:28 says this. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no what? No death. Is that right? God, what are you saying? Do you know that when you believed in God, when you took Jesus as your Savior, He placed your sins on him. Is that okay? He took your sins and he made you righteous. Do you know that? This is just what God did for you. He took your sins, took them to the cross, paid for them. And in paying for them, your receipt, what you received, was the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you understand that? That's what the Bible says. You became righteous before God. Is that okay? That's what gets you to walk into the presence of God. That's what gets you into his, so you can talk to him and speak to him and allow him to talk to you, because you're righteous, because sin can't dwell with God. Proverbs 18:21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. What I want you to do is I want you to just consider what you're hearing and think about what you say when you say, well, you know, hey, I want to live till I'm 90. Is that you or is that God? That's you. That's your plan. That's not God's plan. God is in today's world, in Christianity, telling the folks, I want you to understand life. Can you say amen? I was praying one time and I asked God, I said, well, Lord, why is it that we don't see everybody healed like Jesus did when he was on the planet? Why is it? What's the difference, Lord? You said you've given us your spirit, but you know what the Lord said to me? He says, they're too connected to death. They do not understand life, therefore you're connected to death. See, Jesus was not connected to death in any form or fashion. Do you understand that? He came to destroy death. Is that okay? And can I tell you that he did? Death was destroyed that day when he gave up his last breath. Boom. It's crazy. But we are so tempered by death, because we see it all the day, every day, all around us, people dying. We're going to die. I heard people say, we're going to die one of these days. You know, when I die, you know, what if you use the power of your tongue to say, you know what, I'm not going to die until God tells me to come home, but that's not really dying. See, the Word of God says everything in Scripture must have two or three witnesses. Can you say amen to that? Everything must have two. So in death, can I tell you that in the Old Testament, there's two witnesses where the people made it to heaven and didn't die. How many say amen?
Amen.
Enoch is one.
Yep.
And Elijah. The Bible says that God had pleased him, that he pleased God, and God took him. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that death is an enemy of God. Do you know that? The last enemy to be defeated will be death. That's what the Word of God says. Death is an enemy. Why would God use death to get you to heaven? Whoa, come on, man. Our mindset needs to be reconditioned, if you will. Allow God to speak these things to you. Like I said, don't believe me. Let the Lord of God speak to you. I want to go back to John, verses 11 through 20. Oh, what was it? I want to go back to John 23 through 26. You can put that up. 23 through 26. Take a look at these scriptures. I'm sorry. We're going to scroll down until we get to 23. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Look how quickly she answers, and she says, yeah, I know. In the last day. Jesus, who is the resurrection, standing right before her. She didn't know that. It's okay. She don't know, Lord. Lord says, Lord knows that. She doesn't understand. Jesus says, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus' words right here, I got a hold of him. I said, God, God, what are you saying here? What is this that you're saying? It's what I've been telling you, Henry. It's what I've been showing to you. That you need to look at life and life more abundant. I said, God, in life, there is no death. How many say amen? They're contrary. They don't work together. There's nothing like that. And I get it. Our Christian upbringing said, well, you know, it's not talking about the flesh. It's talking about the spirit. Your spirit's going to live. And everything. No. It's talking about the intent of God. It's talking about how God designed things. When he told Adam in the garden, he said, see that tree over there? Don't take anything of it. Leave it alone. The day you eat from it, that's when you die. Because the day he ate, it would be a sin because he transgressed against God's command to not eat from it. So the day you eat from that, you're going to die. And did he die immediately? He didn't. He lived. He had 2 sons, 3 sons, and he went on. And then he eventually died. But the intent that God would, don't take from that, obey me and watch life happen. Is that okay? You might say, yeah, well, then you're whatever. Listen, we are too programmed that death has to overtake us. Therefore, that's why when we get sick, I mean, when you get sick, something that comes into you. Oh God. You get a pain. Is that my lung? Is that my kidney? Is that my, and you go to the internet and you start looking it up. Pain in the side. Oh, you know what? The internet says that I've got whatever. Right. Folks, believe it or not, we do that. A lot of us do that. And God is saying, will you believe me? Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? It's kind of a question there, isn't it? Glory to God. This, surprisingly, isn't the only time he said this. When Jesus was being confronted by the Jews, and they said, they looked at him, they said, man, you got a devil. You're a Samaritan. You've got a devil. And Jesus tells them, I don't have a devil. And I want you to look at this scripture. This is what Jesus tells those guys. This is John chapter 8, verses 48 through 53. Then answered the Jews and said to him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and have a devil? Jesus answered and said, I don't have a devil. I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. And then he says this, and I want you to pay attention to the verily, verily. Because when you see verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully in the scripture, however, whatever translation you're reading, he is saying, look, I'm putting a truth out, and it's a truth on a truth. There is truth here that cannot be denied, okay? That's what he's saying, this truth. Jesus was the way, the what? The truth and the life. And Jesus says, truly, truly, I'm going to say this to you. He says this, true, verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Those Jews knew exactly what he was talking about. Because they go on and say, the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead. And the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste the death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead? Whom do you make yourself? And he tells them, and they pick up stones to throw at him. They get mad at him because he tells them what? Verily, verily, truthfully, truthfully, I'll tell you. If you believe on me, he that believes on me will never see death. Folks, I know that we've been through generations and generations and generations of Christians. Can you put up that scripture in Acts? This morning, the Lord gave me a scripture while I was in, and Terry found it for me. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said this because the disciples asked him, hey, at this time, now that he's already resurrected and he's talking to them, they said, at this time, are you going to return the kingdom to David? David's kingdom now, get rid of the Romans or whatever. I think Jesus was really disappointed in their question. He said, you're not getting this. And he tells them this. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own what?
Power.
Everybody say that word.
Power.
See, a lot of translations, a bunch of translations, and many translations, as a matter of fact, say that who the Father has put in his own authority. But of course it's in his authority. He's the king. He is the authority of authorities. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
He's saying something different. Who the Father has put in his own power. Because the very next verse he says, and if you wait, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. It is in the Holy Spirit's hands. The determination of when these seasons and these times are done. Can you say amen to that? We're getting close. I sense it in my spirit. I don't know if you sense it in your spirit, but I can see the things going on are causing me to rise. I'm getting a little bit excited about it. It's like when I was getting ready to retire. The copper price was dropping. Ooh, my daughter's going, what are we going to do? And I say, hey, I'm all right, man. Anybody over 60, they're going to give us a package to get out early. And boy, I got a package.
Amen.
There's an excitement that I see when I see what's happening in the world today. You just do what God wants you to do. You just speak to the world what God is saying for you to speak. You don't have to go fight about all the school systems that are doing all the different. You don't have to unless God tells you to. Can I throw that at you? You got to do what the will of the Father is. See, not only is the kingdom coming, but his will is coming. Is that right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not your will. Everybody look at your neighbor, not your will. We're not going to Hawaii because you want to. Yeah, it's his will that we're doing today. Is that okay? Come on, man.
Amen.
That's what's coming. His will, not our will.
Amen.
He says, I don't have a devil, but I honor my Father. That song we sang, you can have my heart. You can have my heart. Does your heart honor your Father? Is your heart honoring him? Are you believing the things that he's saying to you? Are you believing? Or are you just brushing them off and say, I don't have to look at that. I don't have to look at that. Folks, let me tell you something. You don't believe this. It's not going to keep you out of heaven. But it can thwart. Is that the right word? Thwart? It can thwart the purpose that God has for you on this planet by not believing the things that he's saying to you. I'm a nobody. Who am I? I'm nobody. I'm this Mexican from Bisbee, huh? Bisbee's not even a big town. Who am I? To be preaching, to be speaking to the king's king, the king's children. Who am I? Hey. Look at what Jesus, remember when they were talking to Jesus, say, hey, let's go back down to Judea. Remember? Jesus answers them this weirdest thing. And for the longest time, until the Lord was showing me this, I just say, what kind of answer was that? I just couldn't get it. So I'm going to take you back. And it's John 11, 7 through 11. Look at this. Then he said, after that, he said to his disciples, let's go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? Jesus answered. Now check out this answer. Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not because he sees the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there's no light in him. That's kind of a weird answer, isn't that? Do you get what he's saying? Well, yeah, kind of, because we know that we need to have light. Is that right? He's saying, well, Jesus is answering them in a way that, you know, how many of you know that the Word of God says that Jesus says to them, It is not given, because the disciples were asking about the prayer, the parable of the sower. And he said to them, it's not given to understand. He says, but to you, boys, talking to his disciples and the ladies, whatever, but to you, it's been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Is that okay? How many want to know the mysteries? Can I tell you, these mysteries come by revelation. You can't just dream them up. I can't dream up this stuff. What he's telling them here is connected to something. It was a while. I said, Lord, I don't get what you told them. Yeah, we get it. You can't walk around at night without. I turned my light on last night. I turned my light on last night about 11:30. I looked outside, and there's a herd of bucks. One of them's got his face in my wife's flower pot. I go, hey, what are you doing? And they all look up, and they got these big ears looking at me, you know. It's weird, because I had to tell them everything. Get out of here. And then they took off. Isn't that weird? Yeah, we need light to walk around the dark. I grab my flashlight. I'm stomping around out there. Got my little BB gun. I say, I'm going to hurt them. Trying to find them. Looking for them, man. I could see their eyes looking at me with that light. So I just randomly shot over there. It looks like they just turned and walked away. So I said, oh, he's got a BB gun, they said. Oh, boy, I don't know. But I get, you know, I get, and I think all of us get that you can't just really walk around very well in the dark, in the night. Is that right? Right. You need light. Is that right? So to this, whatever you're telling me, if you're going to go to Judea, they're going to try to kill you, man. Don't you get it? And he tells them, we got to walk with light. That doesn't make sense. And then he showed me a scripture. And what I love about Jesus is, what I love about the Holy Spirit, he connects things. Is that right? When you're looking at his word, the word of God says, in Isaiah, he says, how am I going to teach them? He says, I'm going to use precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. So sometimes when you're trying to make it look like it's like, you know, hey, in context, if you will, it doesn't fit. But when you get all these testimonies, all these words coming in, the context all of a sudden explodes. Can you say amen to that? It's called revelation. The context, what that scripture might be saying, didn't really fit with the context. And it's talking about Babylon, so we're not Babylon, so that doesn't mean nothing to us. Oh, yes, it does, when the context begins to explode before you. Does that make sense to you? I'm hoping I'm making sense to you, because I don't want to confuse you any more than what I am. Is that all right? Praise God. Oh, man, I don't know if I should have said that or not, but... But when I looked, and I looked at this word, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7 through 10. Check this out. Remember, he's telling about walking the night, walking the day. Here's Timothy. And how many of you know that we are not to be fearful? How many of you know that God has given us a sound mind, right? Well, probably to you right now, Henry don't sound too sound. Is that right? He sounds a little crazy. What do you mean we're not going to die? Everybody dies. That's what the mortuary, they'll tell you everybody dies. Yeah. Is he in sound mind? Well, check this out. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Folks, that's a promise. Can you say amen? That's a promise for you. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be there a partaker of the afflictions according to what? The power of God. Be a partaker of these afflictions. How many like partaking in afflictions? No way. Are you kidding me? No. See, because God does things for a reason. He builds things within you. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Not according to our works, but according to who? His own purposes and grace. Would you say that's his will? According to his will. Now check this out. Which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. See, what God has for you, he already gave it to you even before he created the planet. Can you say amen? See, God's got good things for you. Now check this out. But now it's manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now look at what he says. Who has what? Abolished death and has brought what? Life and what? Immortality to light through the gospel. See, the gospel reveals the heart of God. Do you know that? It reveals Jesus. It reveals God's intents. Can you say amen? What God is intending, the gospel reveals it. Is that okay? Ooh, that's why you got to read the Bible and only the Bible. That's why don't be reading other folks' books. That's why you don't need to be taking your stuff out of somebody's book. Oh, yeah. There's a scripture that God has spoken to me over and over again is drink waters from your own cistern. Do you know, you guys ever heard that scripture? Yeah, it's in Proverbs. It says, drink waters from your own cistern. In other words, the water he's given you, drink out of those and you watch, because God multiplies the things that he places within you. That's just the way he is. He reveals and reveals and reveals, continues to reveal and continues to. This is why I told him, God, this ain't going to fit in one sermon. He said, we'll do it in two or three. I said, okay, you're the boss. How many say amen? Yeah, he's the boss. It says here, he has abolished death. That word abolished in the Greek is kartargil. Say that, kartargil. And it means to render entirely useless, to put away, to destroy, and to make void. That's what the Word of God says that Jesus did to death. But then it doesn't just say that he abolished death and bing, stop right there, period. It says a little more. And has brought life, amen? And immortality to light. Immortality, the word is aphtharsia. That's Greek. Does anybody know that? Yeah. Aphtharsia. Anyway, aphtharsia. And it means this, basically, quietly, unending existence. But I like the part where it says he has brought life and immortality to light. That's the part that the Lord said. I'm connecting that to the part where I told the disciples, you need light to walk in this world. I am about, this Jesus, it's almost like Jesus saying, I'm about to show you eternal life. You're going to see it. And I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there, because now I want you to see it. And when he goes to the grave, he says, Father, I'm so glad that you heard me. Is that right? Nobody said? Yep. Thank you for hearing me. And God, I know you hear me all the time. Is that right? But these folks, is that what he, come on, man. But for them, I said it. Why? Because they won't listen. Jesus says, why won't you do what I tell you? They won't listen. He said, but for their sakes, I said it, because they don't hear me. Folks, we got to be hearing what he's saying to you. You got to understand that he's saying some things. Life has been swallowed up by victory. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
And when the body of Christ, you know, Hebrews chapter 10, this is going to be in one of the other ones too, because like I said, God has given me a lot of stuff, all right, on this subject. Hebrews chapter 10 says this. He said that Jesus, after he had paid the price for our sins, is that right? That he went and he sat down next to the Father on the throne. And it says, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. Change the channel over to 1 Corinthians 15. You're going to see that the scripture says that the last enemy to be defeated is death.
Yes.
We, as the body of Christ on the earth, have to exercise the power or the authority over what death is. Death means nothing to you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Some of you are saying, yeah, man. Yeah. I will tell you, you need to look at this. Because it's characteristic of the kingdom age. Do you understand that? I had a lady tell me one day, what does it matter? We're going to heaven. Yeah, what does it matter? I'll tell you what it matters. Jesus paid for it. That's why it matters. And why does it matter? Because the world needs to see the glory of God in the earth. This is what Jesus told the apostles. I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. Now you're going to see something. Are you guys ready to see things? Take these words. I hope you wrote these down. I hope you listened. And I'm asking you just to, hey, just don't put it off. As a pastor, I'm going to ask you, just go look at it. Just go check it out and see if the Lord doesn't begin to build things within you. I'll tell you, His word is a shield. It's the greatest shield we'll ever have. Can you say amen to that? His word shields us from everything that's contrary to what God would have for us. Is that okay? Praise God. All right, I want to stop with that. And I'm going to let Abe come on up. And glory to God. Take this home with you and allow him to allow God to show you, well, Henry's right or wrong. Can you say amen? That Henry, he's done. Come on, praise God. Thank you, Brother Abe.
So, one thing I brought this up before is that, we live in a day and an age where if we hear someone speak, we can outright reject it or accept it, depending on who's saying it. But the thing is that, when it comes to the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, right? Everyone who is a believer in Jesus has the Holy Spirit. How many believers in Jesus do we have? I just want to see what I need to talk to after service. But this is the scripture. I've read it before. It's from the book of Acts, and it's chapter 17, verse 11. And it says this. It says, "And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message." And this is why they were more noble right here. It says, "They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth." So, whenever you get a message, whoever's saying it, the thing you should do is go back to the scriptures. Because like I said, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to lead us into truth through God's word. So I encourage you, take these scriptures. Don't just outright accept. Don't just outright reject. And when you get the revelation of the truth, it's something that will stick with you. So I just pray that you do that. If you would, stand with me. And let's close in prayer. Lord, I just ask that you give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, to not just read it, but to study and to understand it, Lord. And the message we heard today, we do that. We go back, we read the scriptures, and we learn for ourselves what your truth is. And we thank you for that, God. And Lord, I just ask that as we go out this week, bless us, help us to interact with others, where we show them love and respect as we should, and then also that we just be a light to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good week.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.